There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from the massive media library. It's easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations. Canva presentations are perfect for any deck you want to design for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can nail their presentation with Canva presentations. Perfect, record, and share a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. You'll appear in a video as a talking head on the slide, and it's the perfect solution if you can't be present in person or if time zones are tricky. Nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, I'm Bowen from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Matt from Las Culturistas. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship?
Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business.
You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. Aiko, aiko, ande, Giacomo Fino, anane, Giacomo Finane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
It is... I'm getting a little wet in here.
It's moist.
Yeah, it's because our producer, Hot Producer Joe, keeps throwing water around here.
Oh my God, our Hot Producer Joe spilled some water on his lap earlier.
It was hilarious.
It was so funny.
We are not letting him get away with that, no.
It was dripping everywhere.
Joe, oh my God. So can I tell you, I'm nervous about what I might say because now you know after listening to last week's episode, I broke the story of the death of Hugh Hefner. And guess what? He's alive.
It was not true. It was patently false. And we're so sorry that even we are not immune to fake news. I mean, yeah. I am, but Matt is not.
Right. Let's say that. I'm of course, as the listeners know, the worst of the two of us. So
that's up for debate.
Rule number 106 of culture.
Matt.
Bowen's better. Bowen's better.
No, I can't say that. Well, okay. Well,
tell us in the comments, who's better?
All right. Tell us in the comments. Tweet at us. Who's better? But you know who's better than both of us
is
our guest.
Yeah.
Our guest. Let's go through the credits.
Fucking credits down.
Down. Boots.
You seen her on Mr. Robot. You seen her on Search Party. And you're currently seeing her right now in the hit Netflix show Glow.
Mm.
Well, I assume it's a hit. You know, Netflix famously,
they don't release the numbers.
They don't release the numbers.
No.
They keep it very close to the vest, honey, indeed.
But the buzz is everywhere.
Deafening buzz.
The din of the buzz.
Breakout stars and stars that used to be stars, now seeing them in a new light, defining them.
Sure.
I think amazing.
And I'm gagging over a lot of the stars.
And we'll discuss it.
We'll discuss it. She's part of the legendary group. Cocoon Central Dance Team.
She's
and they
gagged.
Have an amazing film called Snowy Bang Bongs that is coming very soon. It played at BAM for a couple nights.
I'll bing my bong to that.
Bing my bong. Guys, please welcome Sunita Mani.
Come through.
Yes.
Y'all, I've peaked.
Y'all?
Peaked?
No way.
No, I'll tell you when we peaked.
Yes.
Was when we did the lottery for I Don't Think So Honey Live.
Oh my God.
And then you won. And we were so gagged when it was you.
Our fate.
Our fate. And you, I remember you screaming, and it's on the record.
It's on.
But Sunita goes, oh shit. She shoots up. We're like, it's Sunita. And then she does her I Don't Think So Honey about white people appropriating yoga.
Yeah.
Taking
my yoga moment. From my people.
Yes.
I was really, I can't believe I had one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Inspired by your sick show. I mean, it was an incredible show. So amped. The crowd was like,
it was
freaking
fun.
Out.
It was fun.
So fun, and it merits a sequel that you'll be on.
And yes. I cannot wait.
Oh my God.
Also, I told this to Bowen on our Disney trip, but I just like, I was so excited and I just rushed the stage and was like, okay. But I didn't like give enough time for people to realize that I donated to charity.
Yeah.
Yes. That is
That's
the takeaway.
How I won.
Wow.
Raffle Honestly, tickets.
Yes. Yes.
It was a raffle for Trans Lifeline. Wonderful organization. And
I donated.
Sunita donated, and that is the most important part of all
10
of us.
10 raffle tickets. That was
$10. That's great.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a lot of money.
That is okay. A lot of money. That's in the
Worth
double digits.
It's
a drink and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrificed.
There was no question.
Oh my God.
So you had 10 tickets floating around in there.
Yeah.
That's how you win the lottery.
It's probably why.
Rule number 41 of culture. You got to put a lot of
tickets in to win the,
to win the raffle.
That's true. That's a true rule.
Raffle culture.
Raffle culture.
Yes.
Sunita, how are you doing?
I'm good. I am so tan.
Yeah.
Just for the listeners at home to visualize.
Yeah. Right. And
get that.
And another important visual part of Sunita's presentation today is this bow in her hair. It is timeless.
It's for you both.
No.
Now, I accept it and I receive it, but I would say, I'm going to say it's mostly for you. And we also, when you came in, you commented on my mustache.
Yes.
And then I commented on the bow. Mm-hmm. And then we said, you know what? It's for now. And I said, you know what? Rule number, what is it? 74?
74.
Yeah.
Rule number 74 of culture. Sometimes things are for now.
They're just for now.
They're just for now.
You know what it feels like? Even though they're, you know, we're real people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're accessories to
right.
our lives. It's like when you have those things in a photo booth.
Yes.
You have like the sunglasses.
Or the
like,
props.
Yeah. We're like making the props real.
100%.
And
not
they're
props.
For the photo booth of the world.
Yeah.
To see.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, you're all born naked and the rest is drag.
100%.
And sometimes people live their life without a bow.
Mm.
Yes.
And then you put the bow right on. Also, it's humid out there, but your hair looks unreal.
What's going on?
It loves the moisture. It's a sponge. It's 100% sponge.
But you wear
texture, you wear it.
It looks so good.
I'm about to get it cut. I tried to get it cut before this podcast. I wanted to look so good.
You look snatched.
I was like, can I get my bangs back?
And also,
back. But, yes, you had bangs.
Yeah, they grow so fast.
Are you just pushing them back, or have they just always...
This conveniently placed bow.
No. Oh, my God.
Holding back my long bang.
Okay. Wait, you're honestly going to get...
Little function.
You're going to get it cut.
Yeah, I'm going with the shag look that I had earlier in the year.
Yeah. So you're getting a lot of it cut off.
Yeah, lots of layers. It's so heavy.
Sure.
I get that. I love the length.
Oh,
I think you will look timeless.
I'll save you a lock.
Send it to me. Locks for love. Because we were a charity girl.
I love charity.
Yeah.
I would just like that to be clear.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Of course, let's state that for the record. Everyone here loves charity, okay?
I love charity.
Joe is rolling his eyes currently.
Joe, HPJ.
Hot producer Joe.
No.
Don't roll your eyes at charity. It's very important.
Hang on to that water bottle with two hands, you motherfucker. How about that?
Oh, wow.
I just stepped in a goddamn puddle.
Sunita, I just want to really quickly recap Sunita and my trip to Disney World in June.
Wow,
can
okay.
this be
in
quick?
Front of me even?
Oh,
this
wow.
will be very quick. So Matt was
you were very much a part of it though.
You were so present.
You were present.
Absolutely present.
I was
like
fucking texting them too much.
Yeah. Sunita and I, along with Michael Hartney and Eric Gerson, got to experience the newly opened section of Animal Kingdom at Disney World.
Yes.
Pandora, the World of Tomorrow.
World of Pandora.
World of Pandora. Oops. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
Yes.
The World of Tomorrow.
Do I deserve to go? Did I deserve to go? It was so fun. We got to do Avatar Rite of Passage.
Oh, wow.
And we got to do the River Ride, which was underwhelming.
It was.
But what we gagged for, what I think is unequivocally the best ride.
I know what you're going to say. Oh.
Everest?
Yes.
Expedition Everest. That was
twice. That was
so
the
fun.
Only one we rode twice.
That was the only one we rode twice, but it was the right one.
It was the right one.
Yeah.
I'm just, the whole thing. Yeah. I didn't, we got there at what, like 7 for an 8 a.m. opening?
Yep.
Like
yep,
for the
yep.
doors to open?
Yeah. Wow, you were there the early.
The whole thing was just like, I can't believe we're doing this.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird. It was like a sojourn thing where all these people were there for the same reason. It felt weird.
Yeah.
And it was to go to see Pandora.
It was bizarre.
It was to be amongst the clouds.
Yes.
And it was like, you wanted to appreciate the detail and the massive, like, floating mountain, just all this precious work, but you were just like running to the line. Yeah. You're like, get out of my way. Yeah. Bridge. Oh, this bridge is slowing me down.
I know. Fucking 8-year olds who are like, I'm hungry. It's like, get the fuck out of my way. It's so funny because when you go to Disney World and you're like us, like, we were literally so annoyed with all the children, and it's like, don't ever forget, it's for them. Like, you've had this moment several times in your life, and you're just pissed at the kids being loud in the Magic Kingdom.
Yes,
like that's my take on it. I'm like, get the kids out of here.
But then at a certain point, you tune them out. Anyway, I was just very glad to have shared that.
You were my guide.
Yeah,
it was insane.
The one moment that we were separated was when you had to wait in line for rite of passage.
Yeah,
but. It was Flight of Passage, I'm sorry.
Right, Flight of Passage.
I just was gagged that was like the turn of phrase, the pun.
Right.
Yeah.
Rite of Passage, Flight of Passage. Like,
but Sunita had to wait in line for like 3 hours.
No, seriously?
I was fending off like an older Argentinian man just like pretending to like point at things ahead of me and be like, huh, I wonder what that is, and get in front of me.
No way.
And I was onto him.
Good.
I had to wait for an hour in this line, and he kept being like, huh, what's that? And saying like, interesting, like as if he was like fooling me everyone. And he just kept like bumping my shoulder, which caused me to be really annoying to the people in front of me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because you were like on their ass. You're like, I'm holding my spot at all costs.
It was like I couldn't believe his behavior.
No. And honestly, that is so anxiety inducing that it's contagious.
Yeah.
Because then you become that crazy person that, like, when someone stops in the line to look at something and there's like a space between like where they should be moving, you're like, you gotta move. Go. We have to keep
it on airport behavior.
It is.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. So
very much so.
So we as New Yorkers,
Flight of Passage.
Hello.
Delta.
It all goes back to New York. Delta. To Delta.
Ann Coulter was on the line like, this is an inconvenience.
Ann Coulter took pictures of everybody. Really quickly, I just want to say, we as New Yorkers, when we go to Disney World, I think we have a good sense of how to navigate crowds and like weave through people. But imagine, so this is Shanghai. Let me paint you a picture for Shanghai Disney when I went in November. Imagine. So China is basically a nation of New Yorkers, just like not caring about crowds, tunnel visioning through the day. Mm-hmm. And at Disney World, the tricks you would not believe.
Wow.
This is what we saw a lot, my sister and I. Two people saying, hi, sorry, excuse me, pushing through us in the line saying, just sardines, and being like, hi, sorry, we have relatives waiting ahead of us, please let us through.
Lies.
But it would happen.
Lies.
Happen all the time. And then we caught on to it, and then we were like, wow, we've been fooled.
Bamboozled.
You didn't do it yourself.
No,
you weren't like,
we have principles.
Morals, yeah.
We have class.
You don't lose that in New York, you know?
Your principles.
No,
your principles.
Definitely.
No, absolutely not.
You drop a bugle on the train platform, say, you pick it up, and you eat it.
Yes.
Do you eat a lot of bugles on the train platform?
No, it was just like the last snack that I was like talking about.
I haven't had bugles in so long. I love bugles.
Describe a bugle.
It's a gorgeous cone of...
Corn? It's a corn cone.
Yeah, it's a corn cone.
It's a salty, gorgeous corn.
It's like, it was like a toy because you could put
them on your fingers.
Put them on your fingertips and they were like fake nails.
Yum.
And that was maybe my first queer experience with food was pretending to be a queen in my bugle's nails and being like, yes,
Bowen.
Fishy.
Would you say
realness.
That bugles are, they present ultimately a queer narrative?
Bugles ultimately tell a queer narrative?
Yes.
Fingers.
Horrible texture. And a little umami flavor. A little umami.
Perfect.
That's it. Okay, oh my God. So, Sunita, we're going to ask you what we ask all of our guests, which is, what was the culture that made you think culture was for me? So this could be growing up, like the neighborhoods you grew up in, or things that were passed down from your family.
Piece of media that really turned you around, you know, really snapped you into culture and said, okay, I am a cultural being after all.
Yes.
This is so, it's a good question.
It's on, we're putting you on
question.
The spot.
I feel like as a multicultural person with such a fragmented identity.
Absolutely.
I want to give you like a Pinterest board visual. I'm just going to like
list
say
them
list
up,
some things.
Please.
Yes, come on. I love an amalgamation.
Like that movie, I Love Trouble.
Oh my God, with Julia Roberts?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I like thought I could be a reporter. I like my idea of culture was like journalism via that movie.
Oh my God.
And like I wanted to be a magazine writer or like a actual writer for like the newspaper. But who
gets to run around and get in trouble?
Yes.
Yeah.
And like it's really catty and ugh.
That's her and Nick Nolte, yes?
Yes.
And did you know that they hated each other?
Like they actually hated each other?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do we know why?
Well, apparently they just didn't mix as actors, and apparently all the shots where they're talking to each other almost entirely is stand-ins.
To a stand-in?
Yeah.
Wow.
We've got ourselves like an Arjy Punjabi,
Julianne Margulies
situation.
Yes.
Wow.
That is so rough.
I hope that doesn't like change the movie for you.
I love it even more.
Yeah.
It's like she's even more independent.
What craft?
She just got her shots just acting next to a stand-in.
Oh my God.
Rule number, I think, 9 of culture. Get your shots.
I'm sorry.
As an actress, get your shot.
Get it
I
done.
I can't get the vernacular right now. Lay off.
Shots? Pretty good.
Coverage?
Yeah.
You know what? Who knows what the right word is at any given time?
Nope.
Not me.
Someone's gotta know, but...
But no one does.
Can't hear him.
Can't hear him.
He's too soft.
It's too soft.
I love this. Okay, so that's the first piece of the puzzle is I Love Trouble with Nick Nolte and Julia Robbs.
I loved this one... Chipmunks movie, The Chipmunks Adventure with like the hot air balloon rides.
Okay.
Of course.
That was like my way out.
That was your ticket.
That was your hot air balloon.
Small town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dixon, Tennessee. I was like, I'm going to see the world
through
this movie.
Yes.
As like a musical chipmunk in a hot air balloon. Like, smuggling diamonds.
Ugh.
It was so dangerous.
I didn't know you're from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sunita's a Southern girl.
Just from the South. Oh.
Just from the South.
Those are the cultures I'm talking about.
Yes.
Baptism and South Indian.
But that's that is an intersection, honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild. And then Sunita and I have had many conversations in the backs of cars in
moving
Orlando.
Vehicles.
In waiting rooms.
Yes.
In a lot of places.
We audition, we're working a lot.
No, I mean, But whenever Sunita's in a room, you're like, oh, okay, it's legit. It's,
what?
Here we go.
Yeah, the product's for real.
The product's for real. What's like a...
It's gonna go.
It's a go. It's a go.
It's gonna go.
You guys.
This is gonna go or it's a go?
It's gonna go. Like, when you're in the room and you see Sunita walk in, you're like, this is gonna go. this pilot's gonna go.
This pilot's
somewhere.
Gonna go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
there like a Southern specific thing? I mean, that's such a broad question, though. That's for you, that's like... Oh, like lightning bulb, like cool. This is like what I'm going to connect to growing up in the South.
Probably passive aggressiveness.
Uh-huh.
Or like really an indirect quality that's like so delusional. Like
yes.
you think you're saying what you mean because it's so ingrained to like avoid confrontation.
Yes. Right.
That you're like, you are like literally singing a song with your voice to just like get out of a situation. You're like, okay, well, yeah, well, you know, and then we'll see about that. And like, you can't like confront anything is how I feel. That's paired with like my family's miscommunication.
Wow.
No wonder I'm a dancer.
Yes. You express physically.
Yes. My nonverbal skills are high.
And consequently, my verbal ones
are low. Truly.
I feel like, do Southern people like usually like put in, like just label that as what that is? It's like, oh, to avoid confrontation, we'll just like not be completely genuine with our words. I feel like you really nailed something there. It's like,
yeah, there's like an etiquette or something that's still a little old fashioned, or it's kind of like sweet in some ways, except that it's often to hide like awful things.
Yeah.
Like racism.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Or yeah. But man, I guess it's you from a small town, you're like seeing the same people all the time. Mm-hmm. And you just like want to be in good graces. And
totally.
Maybe there is something about like church where you have to, like, you're under a set of like principles.
Yeah.
And you don't want to, I don't know, be an outsider, a pagan.
Was church like part of your life in Tennessee?
I would pretend. I would tell people I went to church, mm-hmm. just to like avoid talking about Hinduism.
See? Oh my God.
Because I went to temple, but I wouldn't call it, I wouldn't like tell anyone I went to temple.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I go to church on Sundays. Where? And I would like maybe literally run away.
Across town.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, it's a church. And
sing song.
And they were like, I got a great voice.
I would distract them with my triple threat talents.
Yeah. Of course, what you would do in that situation is break into a split.
Yes.
And they were like, oh my God. Send the girl to New York. Get her out of Tennessee.
There is.
Ship her off.
In a hot air balloon.
In a hot air balloon. I think there is something where I have so many conversations. And maybe this is just more common than I think it is, but mm-hmm. like, I've had so many conversations with people where it's like, oh yeah, like religion was just a social survival mm-hmm. thing, where it was like, I only ever went to my youth group because people I wanted to hang out with went to their own youth groups, and I wanted to be like, yeah, well, at my youth group we learned this and mm-hmm. read this and that. And like, what a shitty thing for me to like have put myself through.
Right.
And like, I don't know if, but that, it's, yeah, I mean, it's different. But also, I want to say this. I feel like talent is owned. I feel like religions take ownership of talent, and it's not theirs. And we need to take the concept of talent back from religions. Am I making any sense?
No,
I would love to hear a specific.
Not to me. And I need an elaboration.
So where I grew up I grew up in Denver, Colorado. It's Mormon adjacent place. A lot of Mormons at my high school.
Okay,
and all the musical theater leads would coincidentally be Mormon, because the parents who would like pay and fund the drama club were these super religious Mormon people.
Uh-huh.
And like, they would host all the cast parties and all the events. And for me growing up, it was like, well, you can only be talented if you're religious.
I hear mm-hmm. you. It's like that. Wow. Where did you start singing? Church. That kind of thing.
There you go.
That kind
it's
of
never
thing.
Like, there's mm-hmm. never a pagan talent. I want a pagan talent.
Yes.
An atheistic talent.
You know, writing.
Writing.
Sitting alone in the room.
Yes.
See, thought I was going to be a writer. I thought I had talent as a writer.
Journalism
because
again.
Of that.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, well, I can't express myself to anyone else. I'll just stay in my room and write a story about a wizard.
And of course, you wrote Harry Potter.
Yes.
And sat on the shelf. And then, of course, you know, a woman by the name of Jo Rowling
mm-hmm.
Wrote that.
She stole my future.
She really did. Now, when you got out of there, you hitched the ride on the hot air balloon and got out of there. Did you come right to New York?
No, I went to Emerson College mm-hmm. in Boston.
Okay, Boston
I went
cultural.
To college.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Yeah, we went to college
you
too.
Don't need it, but
we know it.
It was great.
Now, Emerson.
Yeah.
This is funny because I applied to Emerson as well, and you know what everyone was telling me, which I thought was so strange? Everyone was like, you know, Emerson, a lot of weirdos.
Yes.
A lot of weirdos go here. They're very artistic. you know, it's very artistic. And that was, like, I guess, like, the suburban mentality is, like, oh, you know, the art school with the freaks. But, you know, like, it, but, like, that, and even when you got there, there was this thing of, like, hi, yeah, we're the weirdos. We're the weirdos of Boston, right? Wow. Like, outcasts. But that was what I remember about Emerson, was they were very, like, and it was, that was a selling point, and also Jay Leno went here.
Yes, it's such a weird mainstream place with a bunch of, like, weirdos who are interested in, like, counterculture, perhaps, but they're just sold by the fact that it's like, well, if I can't make my artistic statement, I'll at least intern on the Daily Show.
Yeah.
It's like a, maybe like a... It's a very privileged place too, where you can just, like, I have ideas, and you don't have to worry about what that means, like the consequences of that.
Wow.
But it was like the height of the Postal Service when I got there. Like,
oh, hell
it
was
like,
I know exactly
hipster,
what you're talking
it
about.
It was just like
hipster culture.
Meeting hipsters and Jews, and I was like, where am I?
Yeah.
What?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's
so funny.
I like didn't know any Jewish people at all. And it was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I think we're all the same. I think it's like we're all the same student, which is kind of like you were an outsider or something.
Yeah.
And then I did find like my best closest friends, like my soulmates from college that I still, you know, like Telly and Eleanor and a lot of my friends here.
So you guys all went to Emerson?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
We started out at Emerson.
That's great.
Is Cocoon an Emersonian creation?
Not really. It's like a New York-based thing after, like, we kind of went out and then came back together. Mm-hmm. Went out in the world and came back together.
Yeah.
Telly and I graduated from Emerson, but Eleanor transferred to Hunter College, so she was like
in
the city
here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Finishing her degree,
and she said, you have to come to New York.
I was like, I'll do anything for you. I was like, that was it. I was There's like, I just want to get there.
Oh, yeah. and then you straight up moved from Emerson to New York, or from Boston to New York.
I went home for like
nice.
A month or something cool. like that. I went home.
You took the month.
I took the month and really like considered my options.
You have to take the month.
And then you started the hot air balloon.
Yeah, and you got on the hot air balloon, which, of course, it crashed.
Yes, and then you got stuck in a tree.
I got stuck in a tree, damn it, as they're wont to do.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. But when we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes!
Maybe Hans.
We're all going together, the Lost Cult family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed. Finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found Framebridge.
I found Framebridge too. Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for where you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Hey, Las Culturistas listeners, we're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy.
Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion.
It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com, then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas.
There's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the birthdays of loved ones in my life. And sometimes I do get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing.
Me too. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found a custom chalk bag for the adventurer in my life who's into rock climbing.
Not me. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So, whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner in your life or a birthday present for the pickleballer in your life, Gift Mode has you covered.
I'm not the pickleballer. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Okay, so can you talk about the beginnings of Cocoon Central Dance yes. Team? Because you guys, like Bowen was saying, iconic and legendary.
Wow.
What a force.
Dance comedy.
It's my true passion.
Yeah. Yes.
It's kind of crazy how, like, organic it all happened. Mm-hmm. Out of sadness, if you can believe it.
No, yeah.
Can't believe it.
Like all good art.
Like yes. all good art.
We were scraping the bottom of the barrel for just, like, I can't say that entirely for Eleanor, because she was in school uh-huh. and, like, was working on a visual art degree. She was, like, she had the structure and was, like, happy in class. But myself and another Cocoon member who's not in Cocoon today, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Katie. Uh-huh. She moved away. She left New York.
Uh-huh.
But we were
like,
she had to go.
She had to get on a hot air balloon.
Yes.
And go into her own destination.
Is a fisherwoman now. It's like,
oh, that's
she's
beautiful.
She's
oh,
a mermaid yeah. in Alaska.
Thank God.
What a dream.
Yeah. It's just another dream. And she was like, I got to do it.
That's my dream. Yeah. That's the dream. Yeah.
Cold there, though. Cold there.
Cold.
The people say that.
Mm-hmm. Rainy. But yeah, we were like living in this a two-bedroom uh-huh. in Sunset Park, but like three of us just kind of like, I had a room that didn't have a door. It was just, like the side door. It was like the side room to the bathroom.
Oh, God.
It was just like a little cubby, and then they had bedrooms.
With doors.
And then we just had like the open kitchen living room thing, and then like one exposed brick wall, and we were like,
oh, thank God.
That wall is gorgeous.
Yeah. What is it about an exposed brick wall that like is a real selling point?
It's an accent.
And we were like, that could be the background of our stage. Like it was like this hardwood. It was just like a hardwood floor, like a rectangle, and then like this brick wall. And Eleanor and I saw the place together, and we were like, honestly, we could use that. Mm-hmm. It was like
That's
it became.
Cool. Yeah.
We were just so like talent show minded.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's basically how Cocoon started. We would like host open mics in this apartment because we couldn't afford furniture and like didn't try. Like uh-huh. even if we could, we like didn't try.
Yeah.
We just left it open. But
for functional things, for functional purposes.
It like worked out better to just yeah. have it like we could have more people over.
Yeah.
And we do love to dance, and it makes you feel good when you're sad. So we would like just like get high and dance.
Yeah.
and like there was all, it felt like hours, you know? Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it was sometimes romantic and sometimes like, fuck.
Oh yeah.
What, you know, yeah. that year of like,
you're like, oh wait, hold on, we have no furniture.
Yeah, and like, wait, I only have a job 2 days a week. Like, uh-huh. I don't know what to do, and at an open mic, we were like hosting these. It had been like the second open mic or something, and it was Eleanor's birthday, and we decided we would like make a welcome dance, and that was like the origins of Cocoon, to like just dance for fun because we love ceremony.
Yeah.
It's like
to get together and express.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. It was to Kate Bush's Hounds of Love, and we were like, let's just do this right.
Oh my God.
And that was like the start of the party. And then it was our friends that like we like to take talent shows seriously. I mean, it's just like, it's an excuse to like perform for each other and like get drunk and dance. But we like would tape a mic to a broom handle, like a little boom mic, and then just like hold it for each other because there's no mic stand. But we were like, you need the mic.
But you gotta hold it.
You have to hold. Yeah, exactly. The mic.
Because one day there will be a mic.
Yes.
Yes.
So were you the kind of kid that would do dance contests?
Oh my God.
And would like, because we used to do dance contests stuff. And we would score each other.
Ugh. I do remember one dance contest. I was the kind of person who like choreographed songs to like jingles on, like, I love that Dairy Queen song. And I was like, that was my first piece of choreography to the Dairy Queen commercial.
Love it.
But the only dance contest I've won was doing the Macarena at like a hospital Halloween party.
And you did the Macarena the best?
I did the Macarena the best. I think I was Cher.
What was, well, I mean, do you remember what?
I like that.
Do you remember what your skill was? What set you apart? Was it just the sharpness, the cleanness of the moves?
I think I shocked everyone by being like, paper thin, pencil thin, hair out to like huge hair, like pageant, like imagine tiny pageant girl, brown, and her hairline's connected to her eyebrows. Yeah. And I had a mustache and I was so tiny. I was just like too tiny for having a lot of energy, and my eyes were like half of my, I think I just purely shocked people.
You were a meme before memes.
Yes. Yeah. Like, if someone recorded that, you would have been
a
on the
superstar
everywhere.
I do believe the news channel was there.
Oh!
The local news.
Eyewitness.
I don't know where that footage is today. Oh, I'll get my agent on it.
Someone's going to pick that up.
Get someone on that. We need to track that down and either burn it or make sure everyone sees it.
Oh my God. Okay. So basically from that very scrappy beginning for Cocoon Central, and now you're tell us about the film, because I just want, I'm so sad that I missed out on seeing it, but I can't wait to see it when it's just available soon. For everybody very soon.
Yeah. There's one more screening.
One more screening.
When is the screening? When?
It's part of the Brooklyn Comedy Festival.
Great.
Taylor Moore hosts.
Uh-huh.
It's August.
We love Taylor Moore.
Yes.
I do love Taylor Moore. So
he's the best.
Hunk.
And I'm sure there's like shorts and features.
Yeah.
Super hunky. Just noting.
Gotta love him. Listen, when a man is handsome, I say it.
No, you know what my favorite quality about Taylor is? He has his Spotify Discovery Week.
Spotify.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Spotify.
Spotify me.
Spotify premiumed.
We are sponsored
by Spotify.
This is racist. I can't believe this. It's my third language.
I'm so sorry. I was just regurgitating what happened to me in my past.
No, you're complicit, and this is terrible.
Go on. What's good about Taylor and his Spotify?
Cutting off my bit. He just has a great Spotify Discover Weekly playlist.
Let me tell you what the date and when.
Yes,
it's playing.
Please.
It's at that festival on August 22nd at Nighthawk.
Lovely. Oh, Nighthawk.
Nighthawk. Yeah. Famously, you can get food there and watch a film.
Famously, you can get food there and watch a film.
Famous Nighthawk Theater.
But not the only game in town now with the Alamo.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to the Alamo Draft House?
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you.
Oh, are you about to like rip it?
No, I like
we
it.
We love it.
Oh, I like it. The food, though.
Not so good?
Not so good.
But you know, you
on the record. You order some buffalo wings and it's...
Okay, and that's it. I'm a vegetarian.
That's
you
what
got,
it is.
You got like a grilled cheese and a flatbread or something.
Sure.
I remember we saw Fantastic Beasts and where to find them. And I had my weed butter, and I was dipping my fries in the weed butter. And let me tell you something. I don't know if I was super stoned, but did you guys see it, or was that movie a gay art house film?
It was a gay art house film, and J.K. Rowling had a lot of fun with it. And every time Colin Farrell would like put his lips on Ezra Klein's face, I would be like,
I have to see it.
I'm
going to
suck on this wing.
Is his name Ezra Klein? Ezra Miller?
Ezra Miller. I'm sorry. Ezra Klein writes for Vox and is on MSNBC.
The other Ezra.
The other Ezra. Okay, August 22nd.
Yes.
At Nighthawk.
As part of the Brooklyn Comedy Festival. Okay, I'm there. Are there still tickets left?
I'm sure. I don't even think. Forgive me, Taylor. I'm not even sure if it's announced yet.
Sure.
Okay. You're hearing it before anyone.
Wow.
We love that. We love a breaking story.
We have the scoop here.
We love a little bit of a scoop.
A little bit of a scoop. Okay, so tell us about the film.
Not fake news.
Not fake news.
What is the movie? Come on, tell us.
Yes. It's called Snowy Bing Bongs. Mm-hmm. And it's a film adaptation of this live performance that we did.
Yes.
Like in 2015. Featuring these creatures called Bing Bongs that are so dumb and beautiful.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite thing a thing can be.
They're
dumb
really
and beautiful.
Yes, they're just so much fun. They're like little space aliens. They just kind of exist in their, you know, in their tundra, their Arctic tundra.
And I think that's the best word.
It's
tundra.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah,
it's got weight.
Yeah.
It means something. It's so visual.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
It's an exotic word.
Truly.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I stopped everything to say that I liked the word tundra. Continue.
Yes. No worries. It's like, it's hard to explain because it's basically a series of dance pieces based around the Snowy Bing Bongs, but it goes a lot of places and there it's kind of held together by like, you know, you are like put into space and these planets are like revolving around each other, so you see like the Snowy Bing Bongs in their world, and then we like move to different planets and see different dance pieces.
Holy shit,
I already love it.
I'm bringing my weed butter to that.
Okay.
It is
dip,
like
dip, dip.
It is a trippy movie. It's like very stony without being like we just weren't stoned.
It was just like
we had a deadline and we had to make something, and it was like we wanted to tell this epic story, and the way we told it in the live show was through tableaus, just like 30-second, like dramatic still things, and we just like cut to them throughout the show, and then in between those tableaus, we had like other silly dances and monologues and videos.
That's
so
the coolest.
It's like,
that's
so the cool. Format is really patched, but it's deliberate on film. It's like more of a connected story, I guess. Loose story, but it's like very grand.
That's
like
awesome.
The scenes are really, really beautiful, and I'm
how
really
long
proud
have you
it.
Guys been performing in New York, and like how long have you guys been a thing?
It's so long, like,
so long
since
time?
2009.
Wow.
And that was like one variety show back in 2009 called The Moon that we were like the house dancers for, and we'd like perform every other week a new piece that was like super choreographed. That's kind of where like Dance Team came from.
Yeah.
And our name was like, we're like the drill team.
Nice.
we'll
this
be there
Matt
at every
Townsend
show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt Townsend and Bob Wallace.
And Bob Wallace. Yeah.
We're hosting forever.
That's like, I'm not saying this to date it, but that's like a great
legendary.
Yes,
because I'm very young.
You're very young. But I'm saying,
only
what?
Six?
Say what you're going to say. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just saying.
I'd be so happy to hear that.
No. Oh, yeah. It's just a great legendary show.
That's awesome.
And Nat's great and Bob's great.
Yeah. Well, and it had this like Muppet show spirit that we love.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And we're so we could really indulge in some like vaudevillian stuff.
There you go.
It's like very sincere.
You
love
don't get that anymore.
Of performance.
You really don't.
No, I'm sorry.
Where is it?
I don't see sincerity. Not on stage.
No.
Not out of these comedians.
Everyone's just filtering through stuff. I don't know what I'm saying.
Get sincere.
Sunita.
Wait, did this? So you guys actually performed for a long time at the Pit?
Yeah, we did. We had a run at the Pit with Snowy Bing Bongs. It's been like a whole run of like variety shows.
Yeah.
Forever. Mm-hmm. Like we've been we've been in every shitty bathroom.
That was kind of like Papa Roulette in the beginning too.
Yeah,
we were at the Pit for quite a long time, and I felt like, yeah, we would get like booked on these little shows that were like, oh, what's the space? Oh, it's a rug,
right? Cool. And that you have like production value or like a sense of production value, right. And then you
it
go
just
to,
doesn't fit,
and
it doesn't
you're
work.
In a literal basement, and yeah. there's like, sorry, the lights don't work, and you're like, what? The lights don't work.
Yeah, lights don't work, and unfortunately, there's four chairs.
Did you bring anybody?
We got booked one time. Love this space, but it wasn't for us. Pete's Candy Store.
Oh, yeah, great space.
Oh, my
God. Such a good space, but Pop Roulette, there was eight of us standing at Pete's Candy Store doing, like, these, like pop songs, literally screaming
and
at
to
the
this,
audience.
Like, railroad-style setup.
On, like, a postcard-sized stage.
Yeah.
It's a literal 4x6.
Exactly.
4 inches by 6 inches.
Gorgeous stage, but, yeah, like, it just was so incongruous.
It is a
like,
very sweet space. Yes.
Very sweet.
I think half of us were, like, sitting and, like,
oh, my God. And it was really one of those moments where I was like, wow, I hate myself. But yeah, it's
that's
like.
That's kind of, it went from like, God, we're in it, we're doing it, we love it. And then you're like, sometimes, you know what? It's good. We got out there. And then it went into like, I'm how old and I'm doing what?
Right, yeah.
For who?
For whom?
These men. It was just like, got
these
so.
These men in suits.
Yeah.
Dancing for men in suits.
I don't know how sentimental I should feel or even, like, how much I should romanticize that. Because it's like, was it, did I need to do it? Maybe, sure, yeah. Like, maybe it did enrich something in me.
No regrets.
No regrets. I don't know how you feel about it, Sunita.
I had nothing else going for me.
Right.
Like, I was truly proud of it, even though it was, like, some basement.
Yeah.
But we were, like, making costumes.
Yes.
And we were, like, rehearsing. Like, it was the day of the show feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I kind of needed it because I didn't really get into acting until, like, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Until, like, Robot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I, like, really shouldn't be on television.
We disagree. In fact,
just, like,
okay, so here's the thing, and this was I think before we started recording, I like told Sunita, I was like, I'm gonna ask you a question, and
you prompted her,
and you just have to accept this because it might seem like it's too much, but you just have to accept it.
I'm
and
holding on to
you
the base,
and I said you deserve it, but I just think that you are just very, very, very captivating to watch, and you are just very good at what you do on camera. Because I was even just watching Search Party the other week, and I was watching your episode, or the one where you're in a couple, but
no,
you're
it's mine.
It's yours.
Yeah.
It's yours.
The episode. She wrote it, directed it.
She wrote it, directed it,
choreographed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She like go back to the Video Village.
Did craft services.
Did craft services.
It was all grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese. She had to go back to the Video Village after every take and be like, okay, we're good.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
But even that scene, I was like, oh my God, like, Sunita's nailing this. Like, just.
You guys.
And even
Bowen.
Matt disagrees. But even on Robot, even on Glow, I mean, like, I'm just like, God, like, she's just so, so compelling to watch. And
receiving.
And
thank
this.
You so much.
And my question sounds so shitty now that I'm thinking about it, but it's like,
oh, I can't wait.
What are you going through? What are you thinking? Because I feel like I'll. Every now and once in a blue moon when I'm on a fucking set, I'll be like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm terrible at this. What's going on? And like, I just.
That's a great question.
Do you pick that? Like, is that something you've acquired or is it like.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a confidence or just like you have to learn to be okay with no feedback or like your taste. It's like the way you read. Because it is like. This moment in like a 20-minute episode, like you don't really have the foresight of how it's gonna fit in, so you just have to like be okay with what you're doing.
Oh, wow.
And trust they'll tell you if you're not on the right tone or pitch.
Yeah.
It's really hard actually in these situations, because especially with all of these situations, I get like two takes or three takes.
Sure,
it's because it's like super ancillary, and that's like I'm so down to be a part of it.
Totally.
And I love that I get to,
and it's just part of the process of
and learning. Like I don't know if I could, it's good to like learn through these steps for the bigger thing, but it is really nerve-wracking to feel like can I say the words, how do I just be a normal person, just like be a normal person is that enough?
Especially coming from live performance.
Yes.
I think the majority of us, because, I mean, I wouldn't know that you didn't have acting training. I wouldn't know that because you are so fantastic.
Thank you.
So, but I know that sometimes myself, you know, when acting opportunities come up, and I think we've discussed this as well, Bowen, you can feel like, shit, I actually don't really know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think back to like acting school, or I wasn't even in acting school, but like those actors that went through that for many years.
Yeah.
And you're on set with a lot of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I have to fake that I actually know what's going
yes.
on. And all of a sudden you're in that position and you're like, just be a normal human. But like there
is,
you're without that validation that you get from live performance, which
yes.
is so valuable and teaches us how to do what we do.
And that it's like, it's you do the same thing over and over, like with multiple takes, or
mm-hmm.
like you're off camera for your lines. Like you're just, you're
mm-hmm.
getting this repetition that's so
unnatural.
Surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that, what was I going to say that you, and learning how, yeah, like how you read
right
on camera. It's
right.
like I look and sound so different than what is going on in my
yes.
head, actually. So it's like for some people, I don't really like to watch myself too much, but sometimes
right.
I really need to because I'm like, oh, that's an angry face.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think I was being, I thought I was being soulful.
100%.
Or, you know, it's
yes.
like you kind of need to adjust your
awareness of yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's super hard
wow.
because I still don't know if I'm, I don't know. I think maybe all of us as artists and actors, you'll just never feel like you're doing the absolute best job. Like, if you just could have another chance, or, you know,
sure,
it's that
sure.
feeling.
And also,
I don't know if that ever leaves you.
No, I don't think it will. And also knowing that it's not ultimately not going to be up to you, because
yeah.
they are going to
yeah.
take several times what you did.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening to WTF
mm-hmm.
with Marc Maron,
yes.
your
co-star.
Because I've recently kind of not rediscovered, but I'm enjoying the podcast again because I've
mm-hmm.
been watching Glow and I like him very much.
Oh,
and I really enjoy WTF.
Yes.
But I listened to the Anne Hathaway episode
mm-hmm.
and she was talking, and I really enjoyed this episode
mm-hmm.
and I actually liked her a lot after it.
Oh, sure.
But she was discussing
good.
Brokeback Mountain, and she was saying how Ang Lee would say, now play this take like you know your husband is gay. And she would
mm-hmm.
lay it on pretty thick sometimes and then not. And then he would say, now play this take like you have absolutely no idea.
Oh.
And she would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said when she watched the movie, she saw both. Like, and it was like a performance
wow.
that was put together essentially by the director and the editor.
Right.
And that's just like part of being an actor is it's
yes.
you take that direction and you do what you do and you try to see it as best as you can and play the
right.
text. And remember, it's not really about
right.
you or
you
your choices.
Are there to be manipulated in
mm-hmm.
like the most professional way?
Yeah.
Like exploited for your resources, which is like, I want to be that way. Like I
right.
want you to get the best nugget.
Yes.
But it's so strange to like let go of your idea of what it should be, especially because it's like, well, I mean, I don't feel like I'm going to get that many. You know, I just feel like, is there going to be another chance? Like,
yeah,
I want to make
sure.
sure that this is a good representation of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, of brown women, of brown Indian
oh
American.
God, wait,
you know, like
you
feel.
Oh.
I know. You can't,
no.
but it's like you just. As,
or maybe you can, but it's like for me, it's like other. Then it's completely out of control.
Yeah, but as in the, it's awful. But in the that position, I'm like, was I cast because they needed more brown people
yeah.
in this room?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you feel like you have to be a good representation of
sure
your basically of yourself, like
right.
be as true to yourself as you can. But also, then it's like, I don't know. It gets
totally
too big sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I didn't mean to like speak for
no.
you in that thought
and
that sentiment. But just I, you know, of course, and we all feel the same
yes,
way about
definitely.
That.
Yes,
yeah.
definitely. Or maybe you weren't included in something for a particular reason.
Right.
It's just something that when you come from a minority perspective, I think
right.
is always going to be in your mind.
Right.
Whether that's fair for us or not,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it just isn't. And like so, I do want to talk about, of course, Glow.
Yeah.
Because that actually, what you just said.
Oh, yeah.
When I was watching it, you know, That show really, of course, it depicts a certain time period, but it has certainly a take on the way minorities are presented in the world of ladies wrestling.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit to that? Like, what is that like? And like, because it's really, it's very edgy and it's really interesting to watch, and it has such a sense of humor about itself. But especially today, when everyone has an opinion about everything, I'm watching it thinking, what are people going to think of this?
It just charges into it. Like, I think, it was like that party scene.
Yes.
Where I think... I think
I'm specifically talking about when they filmed you guys on the camera and they were asking you to do like the like ultimate stereotype. And like,
that was so rough. I mean, for me, that was like so intense. Wow. I was losing my shit.
Yeah. Wow.
And there were a lot of conversations with the writers who were Liz and Carly, Liz Flahaff, Carly Mensch, who were so receptive to our thoughts, like making sure everyone had a dimensional story, but that it's like, it's about these labels. It's about like, just setting that up first, and then we'll unpack that later. Yeah. And that it's like, it is, that's the whole point of it, like how people are, things are put upon people, and this is like the most extreme version of that. But it was like, I've never felt... I was having a really, really hard time. I mean, talking with them, I wanted to bring more of like this meta thing, this actual conflict into the arc. And we talked about it, and we did have it in there, but it all actually got cut, and it just sort of, I don't want to spoil it, but it sort of just is pared down to like that major moment in the last episode. So I hope we can have that conversation in other seasons. But that particular moment, I never felt more out of my body and like, oh my God, this is minstrelsy. Like, I was just like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And the moment of like, taking the gun. Yeah. Like, we did different reactions for me to like, how okay are you with this? How aware of this situation are you? Like, it's a lot to do in like a small moment, a character's level of intelligence and where their heart is, and then just like, is this a funny moment or is this not a funny moment? And a lot of the takes, like in the party too, we would do certain lines where it's like, is this like a comedic moment or a dramatic moment? And it's kind of crazy that we did both takes,
and they used both.
And just be like one or the other, but they still didn't know where to land tonally.
Wow, they just wanted to get their coverage and like,
yeah. And ultimately, like watching that episode, it's so much lighter than it felt, and it's like, it's funny, and all the girls are in that situation. It's like, we really were each struggling with like how to do this as an actor, and be like a dimensional person, not perpetuating things, but like putting it out there so we could debunk them.
Right.
And it was a super supportive, fluid set. Like, we were talking all the time about like, is this, I mean, we're working in like a mostly female environment, but like also challenging, like, well, just because it's female, is it the same thing? Is it like the same power structure and the same sense of like, I can't speak my mind?
It's like one less variable. It's like, well, if everybody's a woman, then that can't be what the thing is. It must be something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fascinating.
I'm really proud of everyone. Like,
yes, it's so good.
I can't believe it comes off so much funnier. Even to see it in a detached way, it's like, oh, that's really funny. Like, Kia Stevens, who plays Teme, and when we're at the party scene, and he's like, and you, Bash, Crystal, says, you're a big black girl. And she's like, what the fuck you say? It's so perfect. It's so funny, actually. Right. Or like, it kind of lightens the mood. But doing that scene over, we were just like, is this fun?
It feels bad.
It feels bad.
Yeah.
While you're doing it. But I think it succeeds as a scene.
Yes.
Just tackling this very charged thing, but sort of making it seem like, A, relevant to the plot. B, like, this is an inflection for all these girls. Like, oh, like, you have to sort of change your presentation based on the public's perception of
right.
you. And C, it's light. I mean, I thought it worked.
It's also a period piece.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? And those discussions weren't being had.
Right.
I was actually even surprised when Welfare Queen gets that moment where
yes.
she says, you know, this is offensive.
Yes.
Because I don't, and, you know, maybe that is, like, giving even that character a little bit too much credit because, you know, that wasn't a thing that people said. You know
but
what
I'm
mean?
Still like, glad I'm still glad it's in the
so
show.
So glad it
yeah,
happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, but, and it's just like, it makes you think even more. It's like, well, you know, not every character has this opportunity
right.
to call this out.
And that's like the crazy thing about it being a period piece is
yeah.
that it is so closely parallel to what is going on
right,
yeah.
right now. Wrestling even more so with
yes.
our dumbass president.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. the moments where we have to spell it out in that party scene and in with like that scene with
yeah.
Tammy and Mark.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yes, this is the way the world sees you,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I'm saying this. And
yeah.
then it's like, oh, are you talking about stereotypes? Like, it seems really silly
yeah.
to have to do that, almost.
Yeah.
But it's like, we have not moved. Like, we
no.
haven't moved as much as we thought we had.
Yeah, not at all.
It's like, it's a very, very powerful show in that way. And it's entertaining, which is
mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying
so
it.
So smart.
I'm on episode 9. So
yeah.
I still have some ways to go and I'm really
yeah.
enjoying it.
Just a little bit.
It's so much different than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Me
it's,
too.
I really thought I thought watching it from the outside, I was like, oh, they're gonna jump right in. This is gonna be a show that is glow.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much about the process of getting
mm-hmm.
there and I'm really enjoying like it's really it's the show, it reminds me a little bit of, you know, shows like Mad Men where you're really sitting with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you're getting towards the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
you really know them so well. I think
yeah.
it's really well done in that way. So, and, oh my God, these actresses are incredible.
Oh my
so
God.
I'm such a fan
good.
Of Alison Brie forever.
So
yes.
I mean, I love her.
She's
and
so talented.
So talented.
So good.
But I will say this. Fucking Betty Gilpin.
Betty Gilpin!
Let me tell you.
Praise Betty Gilpin!
Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, she's something else.
She's incredible.
She's raging. She is so fierce.
Yeah.
She can do anything.
It's
she can
shocking.
Do everything. Like the littlest thing that she does
yes.
is like opens up this whole world of a person.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that. I'm like constantly in awe of the fact that she can continually do that.
Yeah.
And try something new or try like just volume change. You know, all these things that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was.
Come to her.
Exactly. It was the scene in the pilot where.
At the end? No.
At the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, watching it, you could think to yourself, like, this is a little bit of a jump. Like, this
mm-hmm.
character's going to come into this gym, start a public fight with her friend.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to air this out. It's tough. It's
mm-hmm.
a tough scene to execute. You know
yes.
what I mean? It's very it's a very piloty scene.
Yeah.
In that
right.
we have to start the action
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
but you buy it.
Yes.
Because she's so stunning. And Alison
yes.
Brie's reception of her behavior
yes.
is so fantastic.
Yeah.
And I did listen to their Marc Maron interview.
Yeah.
And I heard that was their audition scene.
Oh,
oh wow.
Yeah. And that they actually were screen tested together for a chemistry test
mm-hmm.
on that scene. Like, they flew them both up to Canada, apparently.
Right.
And the casting director wasn't even there. Jen Houston wasn't even there. She,
mm-hmm.
like, hired somebody to watch them and put them on tape.
Oh, my goodness.
But that they did that scene, and they have this connection to that scene,
oh.
and that really reads, I think that scene is so huge.
Yes.
And then the cut to, like, I guess the future or the dream sequence
where
yeah. they're
so
amazing. I just thought that was such
ugh.
A tough scene to pull off. And they really did. And I was
yeah.
like, this is a special thing.
Yeah.
And this actress is fantastic. I say, I'm talking about her so much because I know Alison Brie's work
mm-hmm.
and I know how amazing she is.
Mm-hmm.
She's just kicking ass to me.
Yes.
Betty Gilpin.
She,
oh my God.
Watching her do that scene over and over, coming in with a baby and like streaming tears
ugh.
And gut fierceness and like, changing, like she goes through so many levels,
mm-hmm.
and like to buy that she actually wants to kick her ass
yeah.
is you're right. It's like so hard to pull off, And it was thrilling. We were all like truly riveted. Oh, it was riveting.
You watched that back. I watched that back like 3 or 4 times. Just, I was like, you know what? Let me go back to the first episode.
Yeah.
Fast forward to the end. Because it really is incredible. Oh, you know what else I rewatch of hers is when she's explaining to the guy like what Liberty Bell is. And she's like, yes, that's.
Oh my God.
It's just such a amazing fun comedic moment. She's so funny.
The physical stuff is amazing. What a great physical actress.
And she wrote something. She wrote something for Cosmo, I want to say.
Glamour. Saw this.
Glamour.
Saw this.
Glamour Mag.
Glamour Magazine about her body image, journey. And it's, so funny.
It's
so
funny.
Endearing and charming and just really real. And she really opened up. And God, like. What a star. Anyway, you guys are all so good.
I'm so honored to work alongside them. I cannot believe I'm on the show.
Oh, my God.
You know what? It's so amazing to see you on it. It's so fun. Like, I really, and I can't wait for, more seasons because I can't wait to get to know your character better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
like, I can't wait to see where it goes, and hopefully there will be, I don't know, we can deal with the meta reality of it.
Sure.
You're going to get there.
And it's just nice. And you were talking about these conversations with the writers, and it's just, as challenging as that inherently is, it's such a great opportunity that you're even having those conversations. And that's the dream. It's like,
yes,
you're able to build this together. And it's so exciting. I mean what I say. It's like, you are just really, really, really fucking great to watch, Sunita.
Thank you. You are. And I'm so thank you.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, you're spectacular. What scene I love? When the hot pizza boy comes over.
Oh, those are great.
Hashtag pizza boy. I wanted to see more, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
I wanted to see sexual scenes with him. I wanted to see
season
it.
Two. Oh my God.
Season two.
Season two. Is in the pizza box.
Yes, pizza dick.
And your whole and the way you were acting those scenes were just great too.
I got my eye roll.
You got your eye roll,
but it was such a good eye roll.
Comedic value.
What was the line? It was like, well, there's his number, and she's like,
wants me to call?
And you're like, yeah.
Yeah. I loved it. What a nail.
It really felt like we conjured the women of the 80s, though, too.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, we have moved on to lighter moments, but with those testimonials, like with those personality things, uh-huh, where you're in the situation that a woman was in 1985, yes, to be this like crazy exaggerated stereotype, mm-hmm, to make like commentary on it, but you still have to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, it truly was like Mothers of 1985, and then before that, and before that, and before that.
Yes.
It's like a really expansive
lineage
show. Yeah.
Oh, show.
It's,
sorry.
I mean, with all the women, like the 14 women, like there's just so much to pull from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're, yeah. But it's really fun to just also be the in the 80s trope.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's
like,
fun.
The hamminess of it, for me anyway. Like, I love it.
But you gotta love an 80s costume.
But the music, too. The music is just like, oh, yes. This is the perfect thing for this moment.
What
yes.
I love about it, it seems like it's always, the sun is always setting in the show.
Oh, sure. Oh.
I feel like that's like, the aesthetic is so like,
purple
it's
clouds.
Always 7:30. I feel like that's happening a lot. Like there's like it's like it's very cool like neon lights setting. I really love the aesthetic of the show.
A little rugged because like you've been through the day.
Yeah. Well, because it's all like the exterior stuff is always like parking lot.
Yeah.
Usually like parking lot things where it's like they've
parking
rehearsed.
Lot realness.
Mm-hmm. Parking lot realness, girl. Absolutely.
There is a lot of parking lots in the show.
You know what? Matt's wagging his finger like he's really.
I really discovered
something.
This.
A critique.
critique of culture.
No, it's not a critique. I want more parking lots.
Yes.
Put up a parking lot.
There is some meaning to that setting where it's like, it's somewhere where people, it's a repository for people's cars.
You know what? Yes. We could get real art,
that
we could
meaning.
Get real film school about this.
Oh, yeah.
What does the parking lots mean in GLOW?
Mean and GLOW. What does it
prescribed
mean?
Prescribed space.
Yeah. Mm. It ultimately tells a queer narrative, I think.
I know what, and definitely.
I
will write a treatise on this later. But before we get to I Don't Think So, Honey, we have not forgotten about these user submitted rules of culture.
No.
Let's just read out the one that we love right now.
Now our listeners are submitting rules of culture, and we're inviting some into the canon.
Yes.
That's good.
So this is today's rule from Janie Stolar, who is a host of the new Forever Dog podcast, Relatively Healthy.
Yes,
with
check
her
it
sister,
out.
Dr. Ellen Stolar. This is rule
really
number...
Really cool.
I so, will check
yeah,
that
Yeah, it's
out.
A doctor a and a doctor? Comedian fielding issues. They're two different takes on issues, and they're sisters.
Oh, my
So many
God.
Hooks.
So many hooks. And there's a hotline you can call, 1-800-STOLAR-X, I believe.
Is that right, HPJ?
Okay, HPJ, Hot Producer Joe, might correct me. Check it out on Forever Dog. Forever Dog.
You know what? Look it up.
Okay, so this is rule
look
number...
Look it up. It's not just our fucking on. Responsibility. Jesus Christ. We already said enough.
Yeah.
All right, Janie, relax.
This is from Janie Stolar. Rule number two. Multiple people's heads peeking in from a door frame must be arranged from oldest bottom to youngest top, which is a great rule. I love it. I think it's hard to get the younger ones on top, though, because they're
yes.
usually not the tallest ones.
It's
right.
created a challenge.
Right. That's really hard, Janie, but, you know... For culture's sake, we're gonna try to do it.
Yeah, we'll do it. From now on, that's the rule: youngest at the top, oldest at the bottom.
Maybe if you, it's like baby Bjorn, you had to like put the kid on your back in like a sack.
There you go. That's
it. You have to help it out. You have to nurture.
Maybe
someone's holding that baby up.
They're on each other's backs, right? So what you don't see is the fact that they're on each other's backs like a pyramid.
There you go.
And because the youngest one is probably the lightest, but of course we don't want to make any assumptions about the weight of the child.
Right.
No.
That one is probably on top.
Or that he has a body.
Yeah.
Or
you don't know.
Yeah.
He or she.
Mm-hmm. Could very well just be a head, and you know what? That's fine.
Yes.
If you identify as just a head.
It's fine.
Go forth.
Go forth. Let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Yes. Now, listeners may be familiar with this segment, I Don't Think So, Honey. It is our 1 minute to come for culture mm-hmm. that we are not feeling right now. And, of course, I Don't Think So, Honey live on August 11th featuring Sunita Mani.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so,
maybe.
And 49 other comics. This will be your second one.
Yes.
You'll be the only person on stage with that
Who's
history
already.
Yes.
Well, yeah, okay.
From raffle winner to life giver.
Oh,
there you go.
God.
Raffle winner to life giver.
This is huge.
This is huge.
This is going to bring some people in.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, for sure. Matt, do you have one ready?
I do.
Okay. This is Matt Rogers.
Now, I can't believe that I have to even say this.
Okay.
It's one of those I Don't Think So, Honeys
Spell
that is
it
like,
out.
You know what? We're going to have to do it.
But I think through your saying it, it mm-hmm. will have been even more underlined and emphatic.
We need to
exactly.
talk about it.
Matt Rogers is I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. People who don't flush the toilet because they peed and it's just pee and they're trying to, quote, save water.
Oh.
No, bitch. Let me tell you something. I don't care if Al Gore himself came to me and said you could save the planet by flushing, by keeping your pee in this toilet. No.
Oh, God,
it is not
mercy.
Acceptable to do this. It is pee. It is unseemly.
Ooh.
It smells. It does stain the bowl.
30 seconds.
You have got to be kidding me. It is not respectful for you to walk out of the bathroom. I go in and there's piss in the bowl. I will, next time I see this, go to you and say, I don't think so, honey. Get back here and flush it. I will publicly
seconds.
Shame you. I will shout it to high heaven. And I will come for you. Do not. This is unacceptable. If you're pooping, you're flushing.
5 seconds.
If you're peeing, you're flushing. You're flushing, period. If you see anything in the bowl, flush it.
That's 1 minute.
I don't think so, honey.
Oh, wow.
You clean up after yourself. I'm done.
Okay.
I work at an establishment. I'm not going to say which one. I have several jobs, but there's one where the clientele, I don't know what it is about this place,
mm-hmm.
they don't flush.
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy
that care about the environment, it sounds like.
I don't know, Matt. It's that one's tough.
No. You don't pee. Do you do this?
Sometimes.
Do you keep the pee in the bowl?
Well,
it depends on what time of day and the pungency.
And it depends on the culture, because I think they do this a lot in China and in Europe where there's a lot of population strain on resources. So, Matt, you really have to think about that the next time.
I refuse to think about culture here.
All right.
I will not be culturally sensitive to this.
Okay.
No, you have to flush your pee.
All righty.
Unless you are so well hydrated that you can make it a secret.
Okay.
Yes.
But if your pee is bright yellow, A, you need to fucking drink more water, and B, you better be flushing.
Wow. All right.
If you have Amarillo pee,
yellow pee,
it goes down.
It goes down.
It goes down la puerta.
The door?
Okay. The port.
Okay. The port? Oh, gosh. This is going to be one of those really last minute ones. That
okay,
I have to
bitch.
Think up.
And on brand for Bowen.
But those these have such a hit or miss success rate. But let's go.
This is Bowen Yang's.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Last minute, I don't think so, honey. And here he is already grabbing his temple, go. Honey, trying to psych himself up. Here we go. Bowen Yang, I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. People who go to Xi'an Famous Foods and don't know their order right off the top, bitch. I go in there with a mission. I know what I want. I want the stewed pork noodles, and I want the ground pork burger, and I want a fucking chrysanthemum jasmine iced tea, bitch. I don't think so, honey. People, you fucking, you think you're so cultured going to some southern Chinese casual fast food establishment and taking your sweet goddamn time. It's fast casual, honey.
30
heard
seconds.
Of it? Look at the board. Take your time, but step out of my way while I go up to the register that I know by name. Hi there, Dong. I love you so much. He knows my order every time I go. It's the one in Chinatown. They just got a new mural. It's gorgeous. Go. I don't think so, honey, you customers.
15.
So look online, get your bearings, find your footing with the orders, bitch, and know what you're gonna say at the cashier, and don't hold up the space for me, honey.
5 seconds.
I don't think so, honey. You Chinese food isn't for everyone. Maybe it's just for us.
Whoa, that's 1 minute. Holy shit. That was stunning.
Stunned.
That was incredible.
Gorgeous girl.
You know what? We're starting a lot of controversies in this episode.
Oh my gosh.
I love them.
Okay. That was very good. And can I say
that was incredible.
Chrysanthemum jasmine.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Say it.
Oh, chrysanthemum jasmine. I think coming to the stage,
chrysanthemum jasmine.
Yes.
Two different flowers, bitch.
Jennifer Flowers.
Two different flowers.
I thought you said Jennifer Flowers.
Jennifer Flowers.
Of course, we remember her. A huge part of culture.
R.I.P.
Huge part of culture. R.I.P. Jennifer Flowers.
It's time, Sunita. Now
I do one too.
Of course you do. What are you
kidding?
Oh my
god,
are you
this
crazed?
Is truly I'm
okay.
This will be your second of three.
Think back on when you were called on to the stage at the last I Don't Think So Honey Live and it just came
Conjured.
To you. You just had it.
This is kind of I guess so.
Okay, do you
this
have something?
This kind of happened recently. It's only just the moment.
Please.
The way that you are doing this with your hand makes me feel like it's going to be quite good. Cuz already the sass is like coming through.
Okay.
It's coming through.
Here we go.
Through
who?
Sunita Mani. I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Man in a Kangol hat hailing me on my bike as a taxi. Who do you
what?
Think I am? Also, you want my attention, obviously. But what reality are you living in where you can get... I'm going to stop. And you are going to ride on the back of my bike so I can take you where?
Oh my.
30 seconds.
God.
You must remember when a woman is on her bike.
Oh, must remember.
Think of it. She is, her clitoris is pressed into the seat.
Stimulate.
She is on a mission. She does not have
seconds.
Time. Mm. She is on top, bitch. Man in Kangol hat. Call a cab. Call Lyft.
5 seconds.
Whatever, bitch. I don't think so, honey.
Oh, that's one minute. Wow, that's shocking.
What happened?
What just happened?
Oh, you blacked out,
oh my
girl.
God.
You did an amazing takedown of a man in a Kangol.
It was
first
so
of all,
specific.
I wish you had been here to see it. It was so good.
First of all, men, no more Kangol hats.
No more men.
No more men, honestly.
No more men. I'm done. HPJ, get out!
Replace all the men with bikes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't even spill water.
Ugh,
this
my
place
God.
Is soaking wet.
Ugh.
I can't believe that happened.
It's so, honestly, dangerous. It's so distracting where I'm like, huh, what? And then who knows, car?
Was
car
he
could hit me?
Could have. No, honestly, and was he like making sounds?
Yes, he's like making a scene.
Oh my God.
This nation is corrupt.
Cross streets, do we know, can we get cross streets?
This is Park Slope,
no.
bitches.
I don't think so many Park Slope.
Okay.
I don't think so many Park Slope. In fact, I've come for South Brooklyn on this very podcast, and thank you so much for solidifying what garbage it is.
No, no way.
I don't think so, honey. South Brooklyn.
South Brooklyn.
Overrated trash.
If you're south of Flatbush,
Shit.
Get out. But no, but Sunita's in Sunset Park.
Sunset Park.
Yeah, but you know what? Good
it's
thing.
So pure.
Because they need
it's
you there. Because if you weren't there, I would burn it to the ground. But you're the only thing that keeps me from regional arson.
There
I
you go.
I love being a savior.
Savior. Oh my God.
Absolutely.
I love being a savior. Oh my God. Rule number 12 of culture. I love being a savior.
Makes no sense.
This episode was fabulous. Thank you so much, Sunita.
I don't want
it
to end.
I don't want it to end either.
I honestly, I will say this. I mean, we've had great conversations in the past. This was a meaty one about
juicy
the craft, bitch. And look, you listen to Sunita talk at length about acting, even though she says she's just recently gotten into it. But she speaks.
I'm still getting used to the camera. Really, the fact that it's in the room. What?
It doesn't make any sense. But the way you're able to speak about it is you speak about it with such maturity and grace and
Oscar winner.
Oscar winner, Sunita Mani.
Academy Award winner.
I mean, who fucking knows?
SAG Award.
SAG Award. Honestly? Watch.
Watch? Who knows?
Honestly, with that big old cast?
Okay.
That's a big cast.
And you know they'll nominate. They'll nominate and they'll give out 14.
Wow, that's a gag to think about, though.
14 SAG Awards, honey. Or 15 with Mark.
OITNB wins every doodah day.
They do win all the doodah day.
New ensemble in town.
There you go.
New ensemble in town. There's a new Netflix ensemble in town. Get out of here, Uzo.
And, oh my God.
See you later, Laverne Cox. Bye, Natosh.
Bye, Natosh. Catch Snowy Bing Bongs at the Brooklyn Comedy Festival at Nighthawk, August 22nd. I will be there. I'm so excited.
And watch Glow, the new hit show.
I hope you like.
We love. And HPJ has to get the fuck out of here. He has to go spill water all around town. So, guys, thank you so much. We love you.
I've been Bowen Yang.
Matt Rogers, I think.
And I think that's
Sunita Mani.
Farewell.
Bye.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this cookie crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
There's 2 kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.